This is not misguided behavior. This is exploitation, this is abuse, and this is rape.
I'm April Cummings with your latest news. Cabinet gives the green light for a new working group to review the existing legislative landscape related to sexual offenses, including those in the digital and online spaces. Here's Radio K-Man's Carsley Fuller.
In a statement to fellow lawmakers in Parliament, Social Development Minister the Honorable Isaac Rankin told MPs his administration is, quote, greatly concerned by a rise in sexual offenses, the majority of which are committed against children.
Sexual offenses increased by 20% in 2025 to 125. 58% of the victims were children, with most, but not all of them, being female children. This is a painfully upsetting trend in the wrong direction, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Rankin says government has been working to identify current gaps in policy and legislation, noting key inconsistencies within K-Man's penal code and sentencing guidelines, which result in charges and sentencing for pedophiles and sexual predators being less severe than what would, quote, be appropriate. Announcing the new working group, Minister Rankin says they will review the existing regime and outline any changes or necessary bespoke legislation that should be developed.
This legislative reform will also meaningfully move the needle for us to be able to hold perpetrators accountable for their actions and to reduce the risk of repeated offenses against the same or other children in the community.
He added that government is also reviewing runaway cases, with more than 200 reported in 2025 alone.
This legislative reform will also meaningfully move the needle for us to be able to hold perpetrators accountable for their actions and to reduce the risk of repeated offenses against the same or other children in the community.
He stressed the NCFC administration is advancing legislative reform through the Children's Act, expected to be implemented later this year, strengthening international commitments through efforts to ratify conventions designed to protect children from exploitation and abuse, enhancing the National Child Safeguarding Framework, and improving coordination through the Multi-Agency Safeguarding Hub and initiatives such as Operation Philomena, shifting the approach from simply responding to missing children to, quote, understanding vulnerability, risk, and harm. Reporting for Radio K-Man News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. Government publishes the Status of Children Amendment Bill. If approved in Parliament, the bill will update the 2003 legislation that makes sure children are not regarded as illegitimate, regardless of their children's marital status. One aspect of the bill addresses parentage testing orders and introduces a new subsection. If passed by MPs, minors 16 and older will be allowed to consent to blood tests for parentage testing, provided they understand the nature and purpose of the tests. That means a 16-year-old's consent would carry the same weight as someone 18 or older. Additionally, the bill grants summary courts the authority to handle matters related to the Status of Children Act. For more details, you can access the full bill at gov.ky/publications. The Royal Cayman Islands Police Service says a missing teenager from East End has been found safe. In a statement today, police announced that 13-year-old Javari Rankin has been located and returned home. In their update, police thanked members of the public for their help. Officers say Rankin was reported missing after he was last seen at a home on John McLean Drive in East End on May 4th. A public appeal for assistance went out on May 9th, asking anyone who saw him or knew where he was to contact authorities. Police have not released further details on the matter. MPs approve a private member's motion asking government to consider introducing a civil service home ownership program. Radio K-Man's Dion Anglin reports.
Tabling the motion in Parliament, Bordentown MP Dwayne Seymour said it speaks to one of the most pressing realities facing Caymanians today, the, quote, growing distance between honest work and the dream of home ownership.
This motion calls on the government to consider introducing a civil service home ownership program, CSHOP, aimed at increasing access to affordable housing for eligible civil servants, and further to consider launching that program as phase one of a wider public service initiative with future expansion to include employees of statutory authorities and government companies.
Mr. Seymour described the proposed civil service home ownership program as structured, targeted, and measurable, helping public sector employees who already own land build a home through a government-backed bank finance arrangement.
The participant would submit an application with land documents, building plans, proof of financing, a bank-approved mortgage amount would then be channeled to the government as the program contribution towards construction. Government, using its procurement and project management capacity, would then procure and manage the building of a standard single family dwelling with basic quality fittings. The home would be delivered at reduced costs because government can leverage scale, coordination and procurement power in a way that individuals often can.
Speaking on behalf of the National Coalition for Caymanians Administration, Finance Minister the Honorable Ralston Anglin told MPs his government believes the program is a, quote, good idea. However, he added there may be limited support around government administering the building of these homes.
The government procurement process and government procuring, I will be taking a paper to cabinet sometime in the next month to make a wholesale review of the Procurement Act and the procurement processes in this country. We have gone off the rails, in my opinion, and so I would not agree to have this program subjected to a process that we ourselves already see real challenges in.
The motion was passed. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
Private members' motions approved in the House are non-binding. New responsible drinking rules of the road are coming to Cayman's bar scene, and this time they've been developed right here at home. Cayman's Smart Serve was developed by the National Drug Council in association with the Academy of Wine and Spirits.
There's this big program out of the States called TIPS, and it teaches you American laws and regulations. And so now a lot of Caribbean islands have adapted to that. But I thought, like, why do we need to adapt U.S. law? Because it doesn't apply here. So let's adapt it to each different jurisdiction, like we work here with Cayman law.
Academy instructor Christian Asser says the course draws on years of training around the world.
We have been doing so much education over the last 15 years from Bermuda, Aruba, Jamaica, St. Martin. And the first course was delivered 2 weeks ago in India, in Mumbai, India. And we did a couple of courses in St. Augustine, Florida, and in Chicago, taking our courses not only Caribbean-wide, but global.
On the ground, bar teams say the course tackles the hardest part of responsible service.
When you get friends and people start doing shots and so forth, sometimes it can get out of hand. So that's where this course comes in to help correct that.
Simon Miller, a prevention specialist with the National Drug Council, says Cayman Smart Serve builds on decades of earlier training provided by the council.
For over 20 years, we have been delivering the same program that this gentleman was talking about, TIPS, primarily to, you know, the industry here. But when we learned that these guys had developed something more localized, we were super excited about continuing the work that we've been doing for over 20 years of trying to teach and educate people that the responsibility starts with them.
The first Cayman Smart Serve sessions are scheduled for June 2nd and June 13th at Le Petit Bar from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The cost is $75 CI. NDC says more sessions are planned in the coming months. Hospitality workers can register through the Academy of Wine and Spirits website. For the International Day of Plant Health, the Department of Agriculture, Department of Environment, and Department of Environmental Health joined forces to share practical advice on everything from growing food at home to avoiding invasive plants.
And as you know, plants provide basically 90% of the oxygen that we need to live and to survive, and maybe 80% of the food that we need. For the meat eaters, the animals that you're eating, they're actually eating plants. So without plants, there essentially is no life on Earth.
That's Department of Agriculture Agronomy Manager Claudette McKenzie Bowen, who spoke to us outside the Government Administration Building today, where a tent was set up with displays. She says even small space gardeners can get started with something simple and nutritious, like kale.
Harvest the older leaves first, and it continues to produce from the middle. And that way, you have a continuous supply of kale. And these can be grown in pots as well. You don't need to have a big yard.
Meanwhile, the Department of Environment's Simone Williams says plant choices matter, especially along the coast, where some non-native species can damage the landscape.
The casuarinas that we see on the beach, they actually change the soil chemistry. So those pine needles that fall down make the soil actually acidic, and that changes the soil chemistry. So our native plants, which are not used to acidic soil, they can't grow there. So you notice that when you walk through there, there's very little vegetation, mostly just pine needles, right? We can't grow anything there.
Officials say residents can support plant health by using the right nutrients, growing what they can at home, and choosing native species where possible. For more information, follow the Department of Agriculture and Department of Environment's social media pages. That is your local news. I'm April Cummings.